Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. Oh, it feels good that it's Friday. It's been a week. There's so much stuff going on all around the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Crazier all the time. And all of a sudden, are we at war with Iran? What's going on?
Good God, I woke up to that this morning. Like, what is going on? What is he doing?
We'll get to all of that. Let's talk about something first as far as our border. Because that's been a problem here in the United States for a long time. A lot of people haven't even known about it because, legacy media doesn't talk about it. But there's an update on this, David.
Yeah, well, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was in El Paso this week, but apparently didn't meet with any local officials. So a lot of local leaders want to know what the game plan is for May 11th. That's the next deadline for the end of Title 42. And so the short version is when that ends, the floodgates are really going to open up, which is kind of hard to believe considering, you know, we've had a couple million people come in over the last couple of years. El Paso officials want $24 million ahead of time to deal with it. But Mayorkas, well, couldn't quite clear off the schedule to talk to the people who are actually on the ground having to deal with Biden's border crisis. El Paso County Judge Ricardo Samaniego talked to an outlet called Border Report saying, hey, Mayorkas, he didn't make time for us, but he did make time for a CBS News interview while in El Paso. Apparently, he's going to be on 60 Minutes.
Unreal.
You know, they're interviewing him about our community. It would have been nice that he got debriefed as to what's happening. You know, we're in the trenches. We know what's happening. We get intel. And I don't see it as an offense to me as an individual, but I see it as an offense to the community.
It is. He doesn't care. It's just the border is secure, as I've said before, because it's all by design.
Well, there's not one thing that's going to make him look good by going there.
Well, I think sometimes, man, we go in this circle. I think all of us do. And you're listening right now and you think, well, what would make the most sense to try to do something about this problem? Obviously, you go talk to the people that are there.
If you want to fix the problem.
Right. And that's where our brain goes to. And then you have to remind yourself, again, they don't want to fix the problem.
No, they don't.
They want to appear like they're on top of it or they care somehow, but they really don't. There's no way that someone could be that dumb. It's just impossible. Well, and they're not going to get fired. It is what it is.
We got audio coming up a little later today. I know that mine might dissuade you from that argument. They may very well be as dumb as you think they are.
Okay. I don't know who you're referring to right now. If we're just talking about politicians in general, yes, I know what you mean. But I mean, as far as the director of Homeland Security,
right,
Mayorkas, if he really wanted to fix the border, I mean, you would do something completely different. You wouldn't do what you've been doing over the last year and a half.
You have to recognize there is a problem. He hasn't recognized that yet.
Right. No, they don't want it. It's by design. It is what it is. So, okay, that's the update there. Let's see this. Congressman claiming people will die if parents know what's being taught in school?
Yeah. The House of Representatives is considering a bill that would amend current federal law dealing with public education, requiring schools to publish a list of books and reading materials available in the school library. They'd also have to post curriculum materials. Democrats have been out there saying, they want to nationalize the school system. Well, no, they don't. They're actually using existing law. and just amending it to say, yes, a school district has to provide this. We're not telling you what you have to provide or don't have to provide. You just have to be transparent about what you are giving to kids. That's it.
Right. But first of all, there are plenty of people who don't want that to happen. We already know.
Oh, yeah, of course not, because then they would know, or then they know that the rest of the community would understand what they're up to.
Remember during COVID and the teachers that were teaching remotely? Oh, my gosh, we've got to be careful because parents are able to watch what we're teaching.
Right.
We don't want them knowing this. We got to be very careful. Yeah. Well, it was like, oh, my goodness.
And this effort, though, is potentially deadly, according to Democrat Representative Maxwell Frost.
Maxwell Frost. All right, let's hear Maxwell.
This bill is modeled after one that I know very well, Florida's parental rights in the education law. Most of us know it as Don't Say Gay. And Don't Say Gay infringes
on... know it that way because it's inaccurate, and you spread propaganda.
Right, you keep doing it,
And you're an awful American.
And Don't Say Gay infringes on parents' rights, including LGBTQ+, and supportive parents.
Yeah.
Bills like this make schools more hostile, and make no mistake, it results in hate, bigotry, and yes, sometimes death of our students in schools.
Okay.
Where's the receipts?
Who's getting killed because teachers are banned from talking to third graders about their genitals? Who's dying because of that?
Nobody. I suppose someone's going to say, well, if you're not affirming, then the kid's more likely to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. They always go back to that.
Which is a lie.
It is a lie. And that person for trying to further propagate that BS, bad person. Mm-hmm. Terrible. It's not true. You know what, man? I just heard an interesting interview yesterday. What's this person's name? I get it to you. This person was very much a part of helping kids transition because as a doctor, she went to school. She came out of school thinking, okay, I was educated about people that are trans. And when they try to, you know, go into living as the opposite sex later in life, they were taught to believe that it would be so much easier if they just started when they were children and went along with that until she started her own practice. And then all of a sudden, she was never even taught there was a difference between gender dysphoria, body dysphoria. The long story short is this. She had this awakening where it's like, oh my gosh, what we're doing to these kids is absolutely terrible. And until she met the first person that wanted to transition back, detransition, that was like opening the floodgates for this woman. It's a great interview. Sarah Stockton, she was on with Jordan Peterson. And the stories that she tells about these poor kids and how, you know, you've got one kid, say, 10 years old. When he comes back from summer break, one of his best friends has transitioned to a girl, identifies as a girl. And the kid's so confused and is asking his mom, is it possible that I can get a vagina over the summer next year? So I could too? Had no clue. Because they're trying to confuse these kids. It's awful. That's worth a listen.
You know what's
what they're doing to these kids, man. And then you have these congresspeople out there saying, if we don't confuse these kids when they're little about their gender, because a kid is just thinking I'm a guy, but then he's all of a sudden saying, well, maybe I am a girl. They're doing it on purpose. It's freaking evil, man.
Remember when they banned cigarette ads?
Sure.
Because of Joe Camel?
Yes.
The Marlboro Man?
Yep.
Pushing things towards, you know, young kids to get them started?
Yes.
That was deemed as a real problem for society. That kids would become sick and would become less healthy and they would be smoking.
Right.
But it's okay to whack your penis off.
Wow, you just cut right to it.
Dude, I mean, I'm just...
Literally.
I'm looking at where... That was like 93 or 94 when they banned that.
Yeah.
You know, and now...
Well, it's BS science.
But you can do that now and I'm not supposed to question. To go, oh, okay, that's fine.
Because there's
no smoking, though.
There's no long-term study that says anyone's better off transitioning. And with these puberty blockers, you know what I did not know till that interview? I did not realize they're not even FDA approved.
No, they're not. Yeah, it's all off-label use. I mean, for boys, what they use is a, or in some cases, there's actually a drug that is made for treating prostate cancer. And one of the reasons they give it to young boys is because it does also result in inflammation of breast tissue. And it also makes your voice a little bit higher, as I understand it. And so they're giving, but it's not ever been proven to be healthy for a young kid to take. It's insanity.
Yeah. So this Sarah Stockton, it feels terrible about what she was a part of and now wants to alert people. This is crazy, yes, what we're doing to these kids.
God.
Somebody's being sued by the cops.
Yeah.
Who's being sued by the cops? A musician?
Yeah. Remember Afro Man? He did the song Because I Got High.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Okay.
Guy.
I saw the wrong headline. It said musician. You're talking about Afro Man.
Yeah. Afro Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's being sued by people from the Adams County, Ohio Sheriff's Office. Last year, they raided his house. They had a warrant. They were apparently investigating him in connection with kidnapping and trafficking, but no charges were ever filed. The allegations apparently were unfounded. Well,
wow.
He wasn't there at the time, but his wife and kids were, and the cops messed up the place, of course. They apparently broke the front gate, they broke in the door, and all that. So he made a music video about it, using surveillance footage from inside the house during the raid. And the song is called Lemon Pound Cake, because there's one part where this heavy-set deputy is seen in the kitchen, his gun is drawn, and he keeps sneaking looks over at the lemon pound cake that's on the kitchen island. It's in, you know, one of those, like, cake stand things. And he keeps looking at it. And so here's part of the song.
Okay, roll it out.
Would you like a slice of lemon pound cake? You can take as much as you want to take. There must be a big mistake. Would you like to have a slice of my lemon pound cake?
See?
Some of the officials.
Crazy world, man. You need a laugh.
Some of the officials shown in the music video are suing him now, saying the use of their images and likeness were a malicious act that tarnished their reputations.
Jeez.
Oh, that's great. All right, we'll get to a news update. And the latest on TikTok as well, straight ahead. Show, Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Roberts. Okay, we mentioned this drone strike from Iran.
Yeah.
Okay, on the U.S. base in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And then we retaliated, but it killed a contract worker from the United States. And it also injured six others, including five U.S. service members. That's what the Pentagon had said. And that seems like a fairly big deal. I'm looking just for an update. I go to some different sites to see how it's covered. I go to ABC. Okay, front page. Nowhere to be found, the story.
No.
We have 4X cops in Nichols case barred from police work. We have Russian strikes in Ukraine killed 10 civilians. Tornadoes, fiery tanker crash, COVID death rates varied across the United States. Kentucky governor vetoes GOP transgender measure. A UK story. Hong Kong traffic accident. On it goes. Nothing. Oh, of course, Trump. Trump with possibly getting arrested.
Yeah.
You're the former news guy, David. Is that by design, or do they just not think that's a big story?
There's probably a couple things. One is that it probably doesn't get as many clicks as, Trump and a porn star and whatnot. The other thing is, as I understand it, the American strikes killed 11 people. And so I don't know if they're not wanting to gin up World War III talk the way that it did when Trump bombed the airfield in Syria in retaliation.
So it's okay to fan the flames when Trump's the president, but let's just pat it down when Biden's the president?
I guess so.
Unbelievable. It's okay. We can move on. Chinese Communist Party. Could they manipulate content on TikTok? Probably not. TikTok, they're their own deal.
Yeah, the CEO of TikTok, Xu Chu, was on Capitol Hill yesterday to talk about the Chinese spy app that's allowed to run wild in America. Representative August Pfluger asked the CEO about the Chinese government's ability to manipulate content on the platform.
Do you disagree with FBI Director Wray and NSA Director Nakasone when they said that the CCP could have the capability to manipulate data and send it to the United States? Do you disagree with their statement?
Their statement says could.
So do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. Okay.
Sure, they could. And sure, they do, but I'm not admitting that here.
No, Scott's honor.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question for you, David.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you have this with friends, family, whatever. Talking about TikTok and saying, because you've said, yes, ban that thing. They say, why do you need to ban it? Why is it so much worse than Instagram or Facebook or, you know, whatever else?
Yeah.
Why that?
Well, because it's controlled by a hostile foreign nation that is using it to help undermine American culture. And they're spying on us. I mean, that's the thing. And I, you know, like we talked about yesterday a little bit, I hear some defenders of TikTok saying, well, do Facebook and Twitter next. Well, I agree. When it comes to privacy and data protection, absolutely. But it's a fundamentally different ballgame when you have the Chinese Communist government involved in this. That's a completely different animal. I am all for strengthening privacy protections for consumers of Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this domino needs to fall first.
You know, it was interesting watching coverage.
Yeah.
It was the same sort of sympathy from ABC, NBC. You know, some people make their living off this.
Oh, I saw those, yeah. The small business owner.
Yeah, like, you know, yeah, they put
my
out these
restaurant,
videos.
I mean, I can't afford a big advertising budget, so this, we employ 20 people and on, yeah.
Twitter is free. Facebook is free. YouTube is free.
I could get used to libs of reels.
I mean, it's not like you'd be hurting for other means of digital communication.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an odd argument to me. Health news. Coffee drinkers get 1,000 more steps a day.
Well, yeah, because they're all wound up, baby.
Going to the bathroom.
Yeah. There's some truth to that.
But also lose 36 minutes of sleep. That's what the study finds.
Mm.
I don't know if you find that to be true or not. Average age in the study was 39. When people didn't drink coffee, they got 9,665 steps per day. That jumped over 10,600 when they did drink it. That's higher than the average people.
Oh, yeah.
As far as steps go, by a lot. Then they say on the sleep side, they averaged 7 hours, 12 minutes of shut-eye without coffee, but 6:37 with it. I don't remember. I don't know if I've ever averaged over 7 hours.
Not since I was like 35, anyway.
You get enough sleep now, don't you, Scott?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. David's got two little kids.
No,
he'll sleep again in 10 years.
I don't sleep. Yeah.
Well, you get old enough, your prostate fires up, too. You get okay. up two or three times in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it happens.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, you know, parents knowing what their kids are taught, fascist. That and much more straight ahead. Camp and Robin Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. and the sexy boomer, Scott Robbins. Oh, it's going to be on here within the next 10 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Boomer versus millennial.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, no.
We'll get to that in a couple.
Okay.
Before we get there, make no mistake, the left, the Democrats, they don't want parents involved with a lot of the raising of kids.
Why would that be? Why? I don't understand. Why would that be? It's almost as if they are trying to keep something from the parents.
They don't want them involved. They don't want their say. They know what's best for the kids. Okay? Well, you had one Democrat earlier in the week say, I mean, look, some of these poor people, I mean, they got terrible grades. They didn't even graduate high school. They don't know how to raise kids. We'll do it for them.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
No, I know you're not.
That was Lydia Glaze, a state representative in Georgia.
So this is a clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about parents' rights, the Republican-sponsored Parents' Bill of Rights.
Prepare to get dumber.
She doesn't like it.
They are asking the Republican Party to keep culture wars out of classrooms. Our children need urgent and aggressive educational solutions. The American Library Association.
Well, that would have meant a lot, I don't know, 2.5 years ago. Remember COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping them out of school. Anyway, go on.
The American Library Association coming out against this Republican proposal.
That maybe meant something 20 years ago. But now people know it's a bunch of loons.
Right.
Drag queen story hour, great idea. Bring the kids around. Dudes dressed up as women gyrating. Good. Yeah, it's really good for the kids. Anyway, go on, Sandy.
When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism. Thank you very much.
Gentlewoman's time has expired.
Yeah, that's rich. Wow.
You seem to be getting a kick out of this, David, until she went there.
I just wonder, how is it fascism to say that the state has to be transparent about what it's doing with kids? That makes no sense.
Well, there's so many things she says that doesn't make any sense. Got a par for the course.
Like, I'm sorry, it's not like Mussolini's like, yes, full transparency. All right? that's not at all what fascists want. It makes no sense.
No.
That was not the Mussolini only his friends knew.
No, I mean, they're very frightened. That's part of the plan, is to indoctrinate the kids. And if the parents know what's actually being taught, a lot of that's going to stop.
Honestly, if you believe it's righteous and you believe it's right, why wouldn't you be willing to show it to people?
It's a great point.
You know, I mean, if you got nothing to hide, hey, here's what it is and here's why we're doing it. Okay.
Well, yeah.
As a woman or any menstruating person in this country.
Right. I mean, it all comes back to that.
Golly.
Yeah. Always one for great ideas.
If we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them.
That's the answer.
Of all of them might be my favorite.
This is how great America is. You can rise to her position being a complete idiot.
Yes.
And you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you talk about women just... Such a disadvantage. Really? You made it there?
God, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Idiots everywhere. Have a shot.
All right. It's that time of the show. Go around the table. Looking at stories. It may not be the biggest one today, but it got your attention. David, today, what's your story?
There's a sociologist and statistician at the University of Chicago named J.C. Reese Anthes, who says that we need to start thinking seriously about an artificial intelligence rights movement. What? Because if the computers become self-aware, then we need to make sure that they have all the rights of personhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The person writes, a new dawn is breaking. An AI rights movement could take many forms. Many social movements focus on mass mobilization, such as street protests and political campaigning. It's not yet time for that with AI rights, but it may be necessary within a couple of decades. We could design an AI Bill of Rights, not because the AIs today need one, but because by the time they do need one, it may be too late.
Okay. Obviously, they're not people. Mm-hmm. They don't need rights.
Yeah.
Where's this sociologist from?
University of Chicago.
You're fired. Yeah, I mean, you're fired.
Or here's a radical idea. If you're worried about something like this, then let's start a campaign to make sure that computer scientists don't actually create something that's self-aware.
You've been saying that for a long time.
Right.
I don't know. All these dorks in the computer labs are basically taking every dystopian science fiction novel in history and saying, yeah, but we can get it right this time. Like, it makes no sense. Just avoid it altogether and say, all right, we're not going to create consciousness, okay? We're not doing that.
Right. It's like every dope that would say, well, socialist society's really never been done the right way.
Right.
Or communism, Marxism, whatever. It's just, it's never been done the way we would do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it would be awesome.
Meanwhile, we're funding the Wuhan lab of AI-a-G.
All right, Scott, what's your story?
My story involves Ray Epps. The New York Times is reporting that life has just been a living hell for poor Ray Epps.
Really?
The January 6th Select Committee also tossed him through the ringer. You know, I mean, Kinzinger said, well, he's just another misled guy. No big deal.
Wait a second. He was the one that was encouraging people
to storm the Capitol.
In the Capitol building. We got to go in. And the people around him the night before were yelling, Fed, Fed, Fed.
And Kinzinger said he got riled up by Donald Trump's rhetoric, although we've all seen the video. So he's deciding he's going to sue Tucker Carlson for false and defamatory statements. And he wants him to issue a formal on-air apology today. Well, that's not going to happen.
No, because now there's going to be discovery. That'd be great.
Discovery is going to be fantastic. It seems that he doesn't like video of him calling for people to storm the Capitol. That's a real problem for Ray.
Yeah, I don't know what has, and y'all watch Tucker more than I do. I generally don't watch TV at night, but I don't know what he said that would have been defamatory. It's all saying, hey, these statements don't align with what we've heard and what we can see. And it is a mystery.
I mean, the January 6th needs to retract their false statements they made about Roy Epps.
Right.
Well, it all just sounds like nonsense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm protesting right now what he said, but there's no way he's going to win anything.
Well, it's not like Tucker Carlson's going to go on tonight and go, you know, Ray, I'm sorry.
No.
I defamed your great character after you were yelling at people and instructing them to storm the Capitol.
Listen, man.
We know you were just fooling about.
We just heard from an official that if you gave any sort of comfort to anybody that was a January 6th rioter, you should be
in prison. Yeah.
Okay, you are encouraging people actively to go in to break the law. You've got a bunch of other people that were in solitary. Some still are in jail, obviously, that shouldn't be. Weren't in jail.
The other sword he's falling on, that he thought the Capitol was open for visitors.
Wait, a lot of people thought that because the cops were holding the door open for some of them.
Yeah, so Ray Epps is gone with that theory now.
You know,
Epps go in?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
But he is saying that they did hold the door open.
No, he's just saying he was under the understanding that, you know, it was going to be open that day. Anybody could just go through there
when he told people to go in.
Go in.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. He wasn't trying to incite. He was just saying,
please.
Hey,
please.
You know, it's open.
You know what? I mean, you could really clear this up because, and I've said this before, if he really isn't, you know, a Fed or a federal informant or whatever, and, you know, you can show that and demonstrate that, then I think he is owed a massive apology. But none of this story really makes sense involving Ray Epps. And if I was in that position where I've got all this happening and I'm going to take someone to court over false and defamatory statements, you know, the easiest way to clear all this up, go on Tucker's show, do an interview. You don't have to be there in person. Do it remotely.
Never do it.
No.
My story today. Hey, this isn't my take. I just saw the story.
Okay.
And David said, yeah, we should do this. And I'm like, well, I could do this for my story for, you know, what's your story? The title is Why Baby Boomers Are the Real Snowflakes, written by a millennial.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right.
August Marat wrote this. Said, if one wants to know why so many millennials seem to struggle with hitting the essential milestones of adulthood, one should simply look at their boomer parents who laid the groundwork for perpetual adolescence.
I've made that argument before.
There's a side of me that agrees with that.
And it's not.
Is this the side that collects Funko Pops?
I did that later, though. My daughter was already grown and gone by the time I went back into my adolescence. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all boomers, obviously, just like it's not all millennials. And I'll say that as a millennial, you know.
Yes.
But, I mean, the question that I've always asked is whenever I hear people yelling about millennials or whatever is, okay, well, who raised the millennials? Okay. And it may not be the people doing the most complaining, but there's a reason why there's a generation of people that, you know, were raised in the everyone gets a trophy mindset. And it wasn't just kids saying, I demand a trophy.
That's part of the point of the piece, I think. It says, you know, older members of the millennial generation approach middle age now. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, yeah, I guess that's true. Some people have just had a rough go of it. And the point he's trying to make is, you know, it might sound melodramatic, you know, being raised on Harry Potter superhero movies, mocha frappuccinos, we millennials aren't exactly known for nuance or subtlety. Nevertheless, there's good reason to be concerned about the generation. Millennials, more than older generations, report being lonely, anxious, and depressed. Few of them attend church or participate in any civic organizations. And many of them have opted out of marriage and having children, leading many to predict a demographic crash across the developed world in coming decades. And so, you know, they tell the story of a few different people trying to illustrate, you know, how it's been a rough time. There's, you know, one person entered college during the dot-com bubble, got a bunch of debt going to school. Then she and her husband bought their first house right before the 08 recession, lost more money. Then as they were succeeding in their professions, COVID upended their lives, forced them to move. It's like my whole adult life has been one long crisis. Okay, what does that have to do with the boomers? Go on into the piece, and, you know, they're saying, well, know this, that the millennial generation at this point in their life owns about half of what Gen X did at the same median age. Not to mention, and boomers were far more well off as far as financials go than millennials. But again, he says it was the boomers who raised us and decided to resist the conformist culture of their own childhoods by embracing hedonism, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, challenging social priorities and traditions, and rejecting moral and religious authorities. On one hand, the boomers can be credited for diminishing former prejudices against marginalized groups, creating pop and rock music and bringing about the digital revolution. On the other hand, they also ushered in broken homes, mass abortion, and the dissolution of local communities.
Again, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. I don't disagree with that. I think every generation will look at their parents and go, well, I don't want to raise them like I got raised. I mean, I'm not going to do these things, right?
Yeah.
And it just deteriorates from that point on. Because, I mean, my dad was much tougher than I was as a dad. Much tougher.
Yeah.
Not even close. And I always thought, well, I don't want her to be afraid of me. I don't want her to be, you know, and maybe a little fear wouldn't have hurt.
But it goes on, and this is worth a read. We don't have as much time to dig into all of it, but also talking about how, you know, boomers really started to use video television to shape opinions and attitudes, and it did it basically for the worst for most people. Mm-hmm. And then taught it to their kids, and now the kids are not doing, you know, it's a broad brush to say all of them, it's not all of them, but several of them, you know, have struggled because of a different value system. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, this generation, you're only exposed to things you like.
The current one?
Yeah, whether it's music or entertainment and movies or whatever it is, if you like it, there's a place for you, and only that's the only thing you do.
What does that have to do with you ruining everything?
No, I did ruin it all because I started this stuff.
Yeah, as the Gen Xer, I just like read this and then give you the information to let you guys
find
it.
It's like when adult contemporary radio started, we ruined it.
Dude, your radio is lame from the get-go. Trust me on that one as a Gen Xer.
Hey, you know...
News update on the Stanford DEI chief. You'll want to hear this straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you for being here. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Update from Stanford, David. Yeah, this is interesting.
This is now like, what, a two-week-long saga here?
Yeah.
So if you remember, there was a conservative judge who was speaking at Stanford Law. Well, a lot of whiny liberal students were saying, he's harmful, blah, 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 go protest.
Oh, well, and hope your kids get raped.
Yeah, and the...
Nasty.
Yeah, it was gross. The DEI lady, Tyrion Steinbach, this lady kind of looks like a guinea pig in a muumuu, is how I'd describe her.
Wow.
Well, she stepped in, okay, and she lectured the judge while the students snapped instead
is
of...
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Is this worth it?
Yeah.
Lecturing
the judge, you've done a lot of harm.
Your work has caused harm.
Yeah, and then there's more snapping in the fingers.
I know that must be.
Because clapping might trigger people.
All right.
Golly.
So Professor Muumuu wrote a letter, and it's published now in the Wall Street Journal, saying that she stepped up to the podium to deploy de-escalation techniques, in which I have been trained, which include getting the parties to look past conflict and see each other as people. My intention wasn't to confront Judge Duncan or the protesters, but to give voice to the students so that they could stop shouting and engage in respectful dialogue.
Well, you want them to be infants forever, and you want to control them.
You did confront him.
You hate freedom
of
speech.
I mean, that was confrontational.
Right, totally was.
What are you talking about?
De-escalation would involve something like standing up and saying, okay, look, obviously, Judge, some people don't agree with what you say, but students, you need to be respectful. This is a guest who has come, taking time out of his busy schedule to speak. There's a Q&A session later. You want to ask him questions, ask him then. Anyone disrupting this, you're out.
Well, and the dean has now stepped in. And the kids are going to have to undergo a class about freedom of speech.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I just heard that update just a little bit earlier.
Got to go to Yankee Stadium and everybody claps.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. A lot going on around the world. And yeah, with Iran and that drone strike on us in Syria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're talking right now. You know, our adversaries are emboldened by U.S. weakness right now.
Of course they are. Look at what we have leading the charge.
Well, yeah, we had...
True to dash, double depression.
We could use a little bit of that true into dash, double depression.
Yeah.
But we have none right now.
I mean, everybody saw the Chinese government gave our country a rectal exam and Joe Biden didn't do anything until it had already completed its mission.
And then you got North Korea. Oh, we're testing some stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe nuclear capable. Like, just when everything else is going haywire, well, Kim Jong-un's out there. You know what? I'd like to join in this fray.
Well, we tapped into our secret supply of Trunadash-Dubba-Depressure.
Trunadash-Dubba-Depressure!
It's sent to the Ukraine now. They're using it.
I understand. Yes. Meanwhile, Democrats in the United States very much focused on, indoctrinating your kids.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're trying to stand in the way, they're going to get a little testy about it.
Oh, absolutely they are. The House of Representatives is considering a bill that would amend current federal law dealing with public education by requiring schools to publish a list of books and reading materials available in school libraries. They'd also have to post curriculum materials.
This is terrible. Oh, my gosh. Transparency? No, we can't do that.
You're the parent. Why wouldn't you be able to see that?
The top Democrat in the House, Hakeem the Dream Jeffries, made this wild claim while protesting the effort.
Oh, Hakeem again. Here we go.
Extreme MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
This guy.
I thought he was going to say slavery because that's usually the line from the left.
Who is doing
the Holocaust?
Who Who is out there saying you can't learn about the Holocaust?
Is it possible? Did he have notes in front of him that he forgot he was supposed to say slavery? Because there was a weird pause there, like he couldn't think, and so he just inserted Holocaust.
Interesting you mentioned that, because I heard it too. I thought slavery was coming.
I thought for sure.
I absolutely did too. I'm hearing it for the first time.
All right, let's listen. It's only six
seconds. It's a pause, though. It is a pause.
Like he's confused and
like
he forgets.
He doesn't quite know where to go with this.
Right, extreme MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
Yes, he forgot.
He was going down the list and his finger landed on the Holocaust.
Yeah, right.
What was something awful in world history?
Yeah, the Holocaust. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that they try to point to is there was a school district where they were talking about, oh my gosh, this curriculum law that was signed by Greg Abbott, we might not be able to teach about the Holocaust because it tells us not to teach about controversial current events or something like that. And it was totally leaked by an activist crowd, and NBC News picked it up. Texas is making it illegal to talk about the Holocaust. No, it's not. Nobody is banning teaching of the Holocaust.
Either way, if Hakeem meant to say it or forgot, it doesn't matter. It's all nonsense either way. Meanwhile, fill in the blanks of this story. There was a Pentagon official grilled about a racist rant from who?
Oh, from a diversity, equity, and inclusion professional within the DOD. You might remember this story from a while back. This DEI chief in the Pentagon got reassigned because of a racist tirade she went on Twitter.
Okay.
Her name is Kalisa Wing. She was in charge of DEI for schools within the Defense Department. Well, her former boss, Gil Cisneros, was testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday and was told to read the tweet aloud, and this is wonderful.
Okay.
So exhausted at the white folks in these PD sessions, this lady actually had the caudacity to say black people can be racist too. I had to stop the session and give the Karen the business. We are not the majority. We don't have power. The thread wires for assistance.
I do remember this now.
Yeah. Mm. Gil Cisneros said, well, we didn't condone it. We didn't agree with it, of course. But he did spend 6 months investigating it. And this is where it gets really funny, because Representative Matt Gaetz came in off the top rope.
Matt Gaetz is pretty good at this sort of thing, man. He's got the hair going.
What does caudacity mean?
I have no idea, Congressman.
You took 6 months to investigate one tweet. You didn't even figure out what the words meant?
I didn't investigate the thing. She's a DOD.
Well, you said in the Fox News article that you were going to take 30 days and investigate, and it took you 6 months. In a six-month investigation, you guys didn't learn what caudacity meant? She's trying to lash audaciousness with someone being Caucasian, isn't she?
I have no idea, Congressman.
Wow, what an investigation. When she says PD sessions...
I did not do the investigation.
The Pentagon told Fox News Digital that Gil Cisneros would provide a final decision in 30 days. So someone at the Pentagon is throwing your name out there as being responsible for this, and now it looks foolish that you're suggesting you don't know what that means.
You know what's weird? When I heard that clip, I heard the word caudacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, he just made a mistake. He wanted to say audacity.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as caudacity. Who made that up? When did that happen?
Way too online woke people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to laugh at the guy, but then I thought, well, no, he just made a mistake.
Actually, the first time I ever saw it, and I laughed out loud, I admit it. Yeah. I'm not offended by the term caucasity at all. I think it is totally inappropriate for a government official.
Is it caucasity or caudacity?
Caudacity, I mean, yeah.
Okay, I got it right.
I saw it. It was a picture of someone had shared a photo of them making a lunch, and it was hot dogs in a tortilla. With mayonnaise on it, and the person said, oh, the caudacity of it. I was like, that's pretty funny, actually.
Golly.
It's like the new words.
Just words that didn't exist 5 years ago that are now in the forefront of our vernacular. Yes.
Well, it reminds me of that one. It was one of the most annoying people that Libs of TikTok exposed, this woman that invented the word. Whenever she would talk about a white woman, she would have to say it as white. Do you remember this? No. That every time she says it, it's white. White. Yeah, like that.
Thank you.
I may have to find that freaking clip, man. It's so ridiculous. It's like the new words. Look out for that. Boy, big update in the world of transgender sports.
Yeah, the World Athletics Council, this is the international governing body for track and field and other running sports, announced yesterday that it is banning men from competing in female competitions at international events.
Uh-oh. Oh,
people will die.
Well, they put on the World Athletics Championships, which are, considered the highest level of competition for the sport alongside the Olympic Games. And the council said it was prioritizing fairness and the integrity of the female competition before inclusion.
Yeah.
That's common sense.
People are freaking out. Yeah. I think on, it was either Good Morning America or the Today Show, one of those two I was suffering through today, they had the quote from the swimmer from Penn, Thomas.
Leah Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. Saying, I'm paraphrasing, it's terrible, it's awful, blah, blah, blah. Trans women are women. Something else, women are women. Whatever. Like, we play make-believe and you need to go along or we're going to pout and say people could die. That's what it comes down to.
We're going to try to get you canceled.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I mentioned this earlier. I heard this podcast of Jordan Peterson and talking to this lady that was helping kids transition and very much a proponent for trans people. And then it dawned on her that what she was actually taught in school was completely bogus. It's not true. And she found this out from a lot of her own clients. And, you know, she says she still loves people, wants to help people. But she actually said it's a mental illness.
Yeah.
When you think you're in the wrong body. And I mentioned this before. I'm not the first person to do it. It's the only, quote, dysphoria that's treated this way anywhere in the world. And there's no doubt, or at least I do believe this, that years from now, and I don't know if that's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, people are going to look back and say, I cannot believe people went along with this.
Yeah. I know.
Because all the detransitioners that are coming down the road, it's going to be one heartbreaking story after another after another. It's already that way.
Yeah. Well, and they keep trotting out this line of like, oh, you want kids to kill themselves or whatever. Right. They never want to actually point out there was a 30-year, to my knowledge, it's the only major long-term study of what happens after you transition or have a sex change operation. Mm-hmm. And it was done in Sweden. And it shows actually there was no impact on the suicide rate, that people who had transitioned still had a higher rate of suicide. And it's because you're talking about basically untreated mental illness is what it comes down to.
Oh, David, what was the story you just saw? We were off air yesterday talking about it. It was the woman that was featured in a commercial.
Yeah, featured in, was it Delta or United Airlines? One of them, this trans person, was featured in part of this sort of inclusivity, feel-good ad campaign, and sadly, the person killed themselves. And I just look at it, and it's a tragedy. There's no question about that. But this is a person who had corporate America, the government, friends, family, everyone firing on all cylinders to affirm that this guy was a woman. And it didn't help in the end. And so it's a tragedy. And just going along with this delusion is not automatically something that will save people from harming themselves. I think we need to recognize that. It's an ugly conversation, but if you want to help people, you have to have those difficult conversations.
Yes, man. I mean, the truth shall set you free. It means something. It does. By the way, speaking of the trans sports, Robbins, you've said many times you're looking forward to a trans player in basketball because they would dominate.
Well, why not?
You said that.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly had tweeted out on the story you just had, David, said, I am begging any college male tennis player to put an end to this farce by declaring yourself trans and playing an easily winning women's pro tennis tournaments. Because that would happen.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Just to make a mockery of it.
Yes.
You would definitely see it on the tennis court. Just another example. I'd never thought of that before, but that was a pretty good point. Somebody's going to do it to prove a point, well, and they'll probably be filming the whole thing and then release it as a documentary. It'll be fascinating.
But he'll do it for an NBA instructional league, too. They won't make it there, but they'll go, hey, I'm a woman. I got to play in WNBA.
Sooner or later.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Okay, much more to get to. Remember the story about Ron DeSantis eating pudding with three fingers?
Oh, God.
He has responded to that. Get to that much more coming up right here. Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay. And I couldn't believe this. Before we get to the DeSantis clip, I happen to look up election betting odds just to see where it's at right now.
Uh-huh.
And it does. It makes you stop in your tracks. It's unbelievable. Right now, you know who the odds-on winner is in 2024.
Joe Biden.
In fact, it is.
Come on, man. What has got to happen?
I don't.
I'm serious.
Dude, his approval rating right now is at the lowest it's ever been.
It's like 38% or something.
But when you see who the front runner is right now, and not trying to take a shot here.
No,
but...
I know, man. That's the thing. You say this, and I have buddies that are Trump diehards say, hey, man, you're ripping on Trump. I'm not ripping on Trump. I would vote for Trump over Biden every day of the week, of course. But
that's not a hearty endorsement, though.
But Trump's brand...
No, I think DeSantis is a better candidate. I do.
But Trump's brand right now is pretty toxic. And that doesn't mean it's impossible for him to win. But, man, it is an uphill battle. He's got a lot of work to do to gain back. Because I just don't know what he's done in the last couple of years for the people who voted for him in 2016 but then didn't vote for him in 2020. What has he done to get them back? Having Biden be a crappy president isn't enough.
No. It comes down to the independents. People on the inside say this all the time. And Trump is toxic to a lot of independents, especially women independents. And a lot of those people do not pay attention to news. They, I'm sorry, don't really understand what is going on. And that's why he's at a disadvantage. But as far as, you know, it kind of flips. If DeSantis gets the nomination, he's got a great chance at winning. But they think Trump has a better chance of winning the primary, and then that puts Biden in the lead overall. And it's crazy to think of it that way, but that was the deal. I even hesitated to bring that up today because I figured...
This is the United States of America, for God's sake.
That guy. Let's reelect him.
Yes.
You mean mental health workers?
Right, yeah. The story on DeSantis was, remember the pudding caper?
Oh, yeah.
Where, hey, rumor is the guy ate pudding with three fingers. He didn't even use a spoon. In that interview he did with Piers Morgan, Piers brings it up, and I think DeSantis didn't know where he was initially going with the question.
Scandal, which broke last week, that you apparently were eating chocolate pudding with three fingers.
Now, was that anonymous sources or something?
It was a very serious allegation. In fact, I congratulated the journalist who broke it on the new Watergate. But I have to put it to you, Governor, have you ever eaten a chocolate pudding with three fingers?
I don't remember ever doing that. I'm telling you, maybe when I was a kid, but it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of people when they go at you, sometimes they have like really good ammunition, like you're a crook, you did this, you did that. For me, they're talking about pudding. Like, is that really the best you got? Okay, bring it on.
But now you're not having puddings.
No.
There was part of me wanting to go, I eat pudding however I want.
Yeah.
Okay? And if I want to go three fingers deep in there, scoop it out, then that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, man.
Stick my face in the cup.
You just reminded me, there is a deep fake audio clip. It's not real, but it's of how Ron DeSantis exactly should have asked that question. I need to censor it, but I can play it.
Oh, yes, please do.
Yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs in it.
That would be good. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. Okay, biggest story today, if there's one.
Biggest story today, I guess. I mean, look, you've got Iranian now-backed militias lobbing bombs at U.S. installations in Syria. You've got that going on. You got North Korea chirping. You got China and Russia becoming buddy-buddy again. And, man, it's...
Then you got people on the left going, how can you put TikTok away? No,
no mean tweets,
do away
though.
With TikTok.
Yeah.
Yes, but no mean tweets. So we got that going for us. By the way, speaking of the war in Ukraine, there's a new report out. They are facing huge challenges getting troops that actually want to fight. We'll get to that and much more coming up right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer, the Millennial David Van Camp, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, so the war with Russia and Ukraine rolls on. See this piece in the Wall Street Journal. I think part of this may surprise you. Because the title was, a year into the war, Ukraine faces challenges mobilizing troops. Said one Ukrainian paid almost $10,000 to flee the draft. Another has ignored five military summonses. A third avoids public spaces, fearing a military official will pounce and issue a call-up.
Damn.
Says when Russia invaded February last year into Ukraine, thousands of volunteers lined up outside military recruitment centers. With many of them now dead or injured, Ukrainian authorities are scrambling to recruit replacements, often drafting those who have neither the desire nor the training to serve. So what you have is the result, a growing number of fighting-age men who are attempting to evade service. And as I'm reading this, well, I'll get to that in a second. He said, Ukraine has managed to replenish its ranks regularly and is largely succeeding in holding back a months-long Russian onslaught. But while polls show that support for the defense effort remains high, the stock of willing volunteers appears to be dwindling. The population of Ukraine is less than a third the size of Russia's, and that was before the exodus of millions of people, before the war even began. And so, as it starts to tell the story of Ukraine having 260,000 people in the army when this started, 100,000 have either been killed or wounded since then. So they're out. And up until now, the military there had banked on, you know, sort of patriotic fervor to sign up, but they're just not doing it. So they've got TV ads going saying, defend what's yours. They got billboards up, you know, trying to get people to, you know, turn your anger into firepower and fight for, you know, Ukraine. But there are a lot of people that just don't want to do it. And if you get a summons, which a lot of these guys are getting, it means one of three things. You either just have to go to the recruitment office and confirm your details so authorities can update their databases, or you might get a medical checkup to assess your fitness for service, or you could be required to pack your stuff and report for dispatch. And what they're saying is a lot of these guys are going out and they're not trained. So they tell of a 25-year-old operations manager at a cryptocurrency company in Kyiv, who has spent the last few months staying away from cafes, restaurants, and other public spaces to avoid a call-up. He said he understands the need for more troops, but says he believes he does his part by contributing part of his income each month to the armed forces.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, It's a tale
Here's
as old as...
Here's $50. I mean, what do you want from me, huh?
It's a tale as long as old as war itself. You know, you've always got somebody who will be able to pay his way out of actually defending his home.
But he says, I'm pretty sure there are people with better ability to fight than me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not standing on the front line shooting bad guys, but there are multiple front lines in this war.
You know, I go back to a thought. You know, when you saw all these millions of people fleeing Ukraine, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of them were women and children, and I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of guys who were trying to leave as well. Some of them got caught, and they said, nuh-uh, buddy, you're going to fight the Russians, okay?
Right.
And I just wonder, though, at what point do you hit that tipping point when you just don't have enough people to come out or people who are willing to actually go out and fight? You can draft people, but if they don't pick up a gun and shoot, then what are they? They're cannon fodder. I mean, what exactly can they do against a larger military force that they're facing? And then the question for us in America comes to, if they're not willing to fight for their country,
oh boy,
do we keep giving them money and supplies?
I thought you were going to say, do we start having our men and women go there?
Oh, no, I think.
Well, that thought crossed my mind.
I know.
Oh, I think eventually that'll probably happen, sadly. But I do think, though, if we hit that tipping point ahead of that decision, the right decision is to say, okay, well, it looks like Russia's won. If they're not willing to fight for their country, why should I?
Well, one other part to this. There have been some public scandals. They quote this guy from the Ukrainian Institute of Politics, a think tank, said, you know, there have been some changes that have discouraged a lot of guys from fighting. Last month, the military slashed bonuses for non-frontline personnel, calling it a cost-saving measure. And there is a new law signed in by Zelensky that introduced harsher punishment for desertion and disobedience. And there's been these public scandals involving inappropriate call-ups and videos appearing to show men that were being roughed up by enlistment officers for refusing a summons. Said a disabled person was drafted in Western Ukraine and pronounced fit for service despite having no hands. And another one died on the front lines within a month of mobilization after 10 days of training. And his relatives were speaking out about that.
How can you be classified as fit for service with no hands?
It's unreal.
How does that work?
I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is the Wall Street Journal. I mean, I don't trust pretty much any publication. But that would, if that was just some sort of myth, I don't think they run with that because it would be easily provable. Mm-hmm. I understand there's desperation. But, I mean, the story you get from this is not the same story we're seeing on legacy media, at the very least. So, there's that update.
Well, it's going to stick with me the rest of the day now.
Just thinking of that? Saying, yep, you're fit for service.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Guy gets drafted with no hands.
Well, you know, man, if you think of it this way, and I don't mean this to make anybody look bad or anything else because you sit there and go, how could these guys not go out and fight? And then I think about the left all the time talking toxic masculinity. It's the worst thing we face. Right. Blah, 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 blah. Most people, you look around at your workplaces, you can probably figure out who would be ready to fight for their country and who would be like, you know, I just want to stay at the cryptocurrency place. I mean, I'll give money to it, but you don't want me out there. You can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The UK, David, you have this story.
Yeah.
Prosecuting a man for what?
Well, this is very interesting given the current climate in Western culture right now about gender-affirming care and whatnot. There's this guy, he's originally from Norway, but he's been living in North London for years. He is now in court this week in the UK, accused of live-streaming the castration of other men on his eunuch maker website.
What?
Marius Gustafsson is his name. He is alleged to have performed extreme body modification and streamed the clips for paying subscribers. Now, the men that go in for this want to do it. This is part of the what they call the nullos movement. This is the genital nullification. But he's being charged with crimes for this now. The movement apparently is not new, but the case playing out in the UK isn't the first high-profile incident related to it. In 2012, there's an artist in Japan. He had his wedding tackle removed and then cooked and served to paying guests.
I could have done without that. Oh, my gosh.
But I'm just wondering, like, this guy, everyone can look at this guy and say, okay, yeah, he's a monster. This is insanity. He should be locked
yes.
up. But here in the United States and even in the UK, they're having this argument about kind of doing the same thing to children.
Yes.
In the name of gender ideology.
But these are grown men, I'm assuming.
Yeah, grown men. Willing participants.
Well, because we talked about the other thing earlier, which, of course, had the great piece of audio.
But it's okay to whack your penis off.
Which Robin said earlier in the show. Thanks for that clip.
Well, I was referring to a news story.
I know. I know. I understand. Wow. Glad it's Friday.
Me too.
Whoo, buddy.
I can't believe that.
Where are we?
Well, when they serve them, is that a market? Is that what that is? Is there like an underground market for this?
Who wants to see that?
That was in one case. But as far as the streaming thing of the surgery itself, apparently, people do pay to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird, man.
Oh, my gosh, man.
And it's their testicles, correct? Or is it everything?
It's the whole tackle box.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
As I understand it. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, I'm just going to play this.
Tell him that God's going to cut him down. Tell him that God's going to cut him down.
Thank you, Johnny Cash.
I can't even say it.
Don't say it.
I'm not.
It's easy. I know it's right there. We're going to move along.
It is slow.
We need a laugh.
Low-hanging fruit.
We need a laugh. Earlier, we were talking about this stupid controversy that someone said, you know, Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, he once ate pudding in front of staffers with three fingers. No spoon, just dipping into this pudding and eating it.
That disqualifies him.
He said, no, not that I ever remember. Thought it was just ridiculous. But it reminded David of actually this deep fake that someone did with Ron DeSantis. That David, you sent to Scott and I by text last weekend. I was laughing my head off.
Yeah.
Jim Treacher is actually the guy who put this together. But it was about, again, it's an AI-generated message from Ron DeSantis. Not actually Ron DeSantis. But it's responding to the report that he was eating pudding with his fingers.
Yes. Okay, roll it.
I just want to make one thing perfectly clear. You're right, I ate pudding with my fingers. I'm Ron DeSantis, damn it. If I want to eat pudding with my fingers, I do it. I don't give a shit. Who's going to stop me? You? Get the fuck out of my face.
This is a hilarious deepfake. It really is.
I'll eat whatever I want with any utensils I feel like. Pizza with a fork. Bring it on.
This is AI generated?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it on. Cheerios out of an empty coffee can with a back scratcher. Zero given. Your mother, raw, been there, done that. Your rules don't apply to me. Your scorn fills me with joy. I am a superstar. Step to me and I'll drop you like I'm dropping this mic. Do not ever f*** with me again.
I said, you know, I know that's not real. It's fake.
Yes.
But if it were real, Ron DeSantis wins 47 states. Okay?
That reminds me of when you used to do your own deep fakes on Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
We may have to revisit that before the show is over. Oh, yeah. Holy smokes, man. Okay. Amtrak has hired a train daddy. What does that mean? That's not a joke. We'll get to that and much more coming up right here. The Monthly Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Amtrak hired
a train daddy.
Yeah.
Excuse me? What?
What is that?
A very unfortunate nickname, I think, in this day and age. I had to do a double take here. Yeah, the Amtrak is going to be joining as an executive vice president to look at implementing high-speed rail development. Throughout the country.
Who's your train daddy?
His name is Andy Byford, but he used to run the subway system in New York. And his nickname is Train Daddy. And I just saw that, and I'm just thinking about all the people that we've seen elevated to different positions of power. And I will tell you, my first thought was not choo-choo trains when I saw Train Daddy up there.
Well, a bad nickname to have, really, just in everyday life.
Yeah, but if he really wants to be contemporary, Trans Daddy.
Right. He earned the Train Daddy nickname, and he also happens to like subways.
Okay. I got so many things going on in my head right now, and I just said, no.
You just can't.
Yeah.
Hear that whistle?
Well, and part of me goes back to Pedro Martinez. Remember the pitcher?
Who's your daddy?
Because after the Yankees beat him when he was with the Red Sox, he said, the Yankees are my daddy, which was probably the biggest mistake of his career, because then every time he went back to Yankee Stadium, it was the chant.
Who's your daddy?
And then it just got picked up. Mm-hmm. I think years later, even Vin Scully was still saying it when he would be reminded of it.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Yeah. It's the train daddy.
I love Vin saying that, too. That makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It does. That's why I brought it up.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Okay. What a crazy day this is, man. We got to move on.
Who's your daddy? Yeah, who's your daddy?
I know. We got to get ready for the Friday Five. This was your idea, Scott. And some great games last night in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, man, two really great games.
Yeah, down to the wire. But you said, hey, there's not enough songs with madness. Maybe we could do something else.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Crazy.
You said, let's do crazy songs.
Yeah, because people are crazy right now. Fans are crazy.
The whole world's crazy.
Well, the whole world is crazy, but that's any week, really. But this week it's extra special.
Yes. And so, if you're new to the Friday Five, we do this every Friday, take a little break from news and have fun. And so, we put, you know, this list together, songs with crazy in the title, and you go by, as always, either how big a hit or what, David?
How iconic.
Right, one or the other.
Yeah. Then,
yep.
How much do you like it?
Yeah.
How much do you personally like it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, does it stand the test of time?
Right.
And you throw them all together in a big cauldron, and you get the Friday Five.
Yes. And I think this one's going to be controversial. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think so.
You've been stewing about it for almost 24 hours now.
You know, I haven't really thought that much about it since we were putting it together yesterday. And after we did, I'll admit it. I was dumbfounded at how the list ended up. And there was part of me that thought we should change the name of the show. I don't even know if I can say what I thought we should call the show from here on out.
I don't know. It's a little spicy for the past.
I don't think so.
I guess we were going to call the show Markley and the, and it would have to do with maybe a female body part, because I cannot believe this list, how it ended up. I mean, there's an obvious song that should be, I mean, to me, it should be number one. It didn't even make the top five for one of these guys.
Yeah. Markley and the, you can say the first word and then the second
Whisker.
Word. Second word's coming up in a few minutes, okay?
If you want to get in early, the number is 210-619-2053. The Friday Five Crazy Songs next.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right. Oh, we're here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. It's Friday. That means it's time for this.
The countdown is on.
You know what this means?
It's our favorite time of the week.
Anybody wants to get mellow, you can get the f*** out of here, all right?
The Friday Five.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
On the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right. Friday Five. Countdown we do every Friday. Give a little breaking news. And do a countdown. Sometimes it's something in the news. It might be a holiday. Robbins, you had the idea. It's March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
The world's gone crazy. We should do songs with crazy in the title.
Yeah. There's actually some really great songs there.
I didn't realize
how many there were, but there are a lot.
The number is always 210-619-2053.
Yep.
The way we put together the five, we take a song, how big a hit or how iconic is it? And then we ask, does it stand the test of time? And then how much do you personally like it? Put it all together, and we have our five.
That's a good list.
It is.
Very good.
Yeah, it's flawed.
Well, it's really not, but it's a good list.
Well, I think a lot of people will probably hit you up on Facebook to give their opinion on whether if it's flawed or not.
No.
Who's up first today, David?
Let's talk to Donald in D.C. Hey, Don.
Good morning, boys. It's Donald J. Trump, the 45th and 47th president of the United States.
Don, thanks for checking in, as always. I know you're busy.
He's busy, but that doesn't matter. He'll take the time.
I tell you, I'm not busy getting arrested, because that'll never happen.
I don't think
but
so.
Now that the fake news media is uncovering the crackhead Hunter Biden and the corrupt Biden family's dealings, his presidency will go off the rails like Ozzy Osbourne's crazy train.
Yes!
Number four.
Going off the rails on a crazy train. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
Iconic. A 10. Test of time. A 10.
I know that.
And then it comes down to personal life.
Yeah.
That's why the show is now called Markley and the Whiskers.
Well,
okay, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Oh, and voted the most iconic solo of all time from Loudwire, right there.
Well, Loudwire says so. It must be true.
Even if you say it's not the most iconic solo, I mean, it starts with a score of 20. So then it comes down to personal like. Does that one rock too hard? Is that the problem? That was my number one, not even close.
Oh, I know. I'm not surprised. I could have told you that was going to be your number one.
It's a zero on personal like for me.
Oh, my goodness.
I never want to hear that song.
That just makes me sad.
Didn't make my top five.
Not that harsh on it. It made my top five, yeah.
I mean, it's like someone going through a really confusing time. Part of me wants to be mad, but I can't. I'm just sad. it just makes me sad. Wow. Okay. All right, so Ozzy's at four. Who's next?
Let's talk to Woody in Vancouver. Hey, Woody.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Jamie, if I heard you right, Stanford Law School will now require students to take a class on free speech. Shouldn't freedom of speech be the first class taught in every law school?
You would think.
It
yeah,
is.
Right,
the
yeah.
first of those little amendments, right?
I mean, darn.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
In my opinion, this should be the only song on your list. Patsy Cline, Crazy.
You know, man, I had that in my five. I think I was the only one.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
I mean, that is timeless. Sad.
Crazy for feeling.
You know who wrote that, of course.
Willie Nelson.
Yes. You know, everybody's lived that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know they're going to leave in the end. You know they are. But there's a little hope, and you hang on, and then you're dusted.
So Willie echoes the sentiments of many people while writing a song.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yes. That did not make the five.
I like it okay. I just don't know about Test of Time on it. I wasn't sure. It's in some movies that show up occasionally. But I don't know, but as far as radio airplay or anything, I don't know. I never hear it.
Man, it seems pretty iconic and Test of Time.
Yeah.
But, some of that stuff's subjective.
If only Randy Rhodes would have had a lead in that.
To be honest, I wouldn't want that. I don't want to change the song. But part of me would have loved it. All right, who's next?
Let's talk to Marshall in Delaware. Hey, Marshall.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great, good. Marshall. Thanks for checking in, man. What you thinking?
Well, compared to Ozzy Osbourne, this group is definitely much better to look at. And these girls sang it from the heart with Crazy on You.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Number two.
I have great memories of that song. Buying that record. Love that era of Heart. No doubt. It's a test of time.
Oh, yeah.
Is it as iconic as Crazy Train? Well, no.
This thing gets played all over the place still.
Yeah, because Crazy Train, you just don't hear it anywhere anymore.
Well, classic rock radio.
Crazy Train is played in every freaking arena in the world.
Oh, well, okay.
I mean, everybody knows that song. I mean, you could go to Gen Z and say, hey, do you know this song? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't know who it is, but I know Crazy Train.
They probably know Crazy on You, too.
Oh, no. I'll bet you anything on that.
Well, there's no way we can square this bet, so no. Go ahead.
Well, we'll just keep taking input from people calling
That's
in.
Fine.
That's always fun. And hit Scott up on Facebook, too.
Yeah, all go right. ahead.
It's a Friday Five, songs with Crazy in the title. And I like that song. That's really good. And, yeah, that's a test of timer. All right, who's next?
Let's talk to Tate in Delaware.
Hi, guys. Tate from Ocean View, Delaware.
Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We're just south of the historic Brandon Falls.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, baby. Joe and myself say Aerosmith, Crazy.
Oh, man. A Van Camp favorite.
That's not even being snarky. I have a special place in my heart for the Aerosmith ballads.
I didn't mean that as snarky. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Yeah. Oh, it is a fact. I was just clarifying. You weren't like saying that to embarrass me or anything like that. Like
No.
I love this song.
He saved that for me.
Yeah.
Well, first, I know you can take it, and two, I feel bad for David today.
I would rather hear this than Crazy Train every day of the week.
Again.
It doesn't even matter.
Again, it just makes me sad. And Robbins, just so you know, when that song started, you just crossed your eyes.
I love
Aerosmith.
And
then you put your head down like you were falling asleep.
That's just that song. I played it a lot.
Yeah, top 40.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well, you know what?
The Desmond Child era of Aerosmith.
Is it safe to say this? It's like pizza. Aerosmith, it's not ever going to be terrible. I mean, it's fine, but compared to your favorite Aerosmith classics, it's not up there.
Is that the way
you would say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pizza's like sex. When it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
See, I got a punchline, and I'm not going to use it. Because
I know.
All right. Who's next, David?
Let's talk to Chris in Missouri. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Scott and Jamie. Wanted to let you know I worked with Dave for a year and a half in small market radio here in Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to convince him for a year and a half that Crazy Train was an absolutely friggin' awesome song. He wouldn't buy it, so it's a lost cause, dudes.
I know.
It's so sad.
It is.
Well, just, I think he's stone cold crazy, Queen.
Yes.
Stone cold crazy, yes.
Cat's big Queen fan.
I love this song.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought this was way too heavy.
See, I knew you were going to say that. I just laid it on the platter for you.
In my opinion, Metallica does a great cover of that, too.
They do. I agree.
Okay. But that did not make the five.
No.
Who's next, David?
Let's talk to Mary in Delaware. Hey, Mary.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
Hey, Mary. People know, anyone familiar with this show, you have a knack
for getting the number one. Yep.
You really do.
Yep.
I don't know if you got it today or not, though. Let's see.
We'll say my two bets were taken, and one of them, well, anyway, I'll just say I'm going to go with Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen.
Queen. Another Queen. Well,
number three. You're ready. Ready. Raise a little thing called love.
Freddie wrote that in 10 minutes.
And it's a toe tapper.
He wrote it in the bubble bath at the hotel. That's the story. And they went in and recorded it and got it down before Brian May could get his hands on it.
Yeah.
Because he wrote the guitar parts and he knew he just wanted to be basic and Brian May would take it and make it, well, way cooler. Right. But it was a big hit. It's a tested timer. It deserves to be there.
Ah, that was your Casey moment right there.
That was always the concert line that he would do before playing it, because that was the one song that Freddie Mercury would play guitar on, and he'd show up and he'd say, this crappy guitar only knows how to play one song, and here it is.
Yes. Well done. Okay. All right, we got to reset. So we've got number two, number three, number four. We're still looking for number one and number five.
Wow.
Songs with crazy in the title. The number, 210-619-2053. And we'll wrap it up coming up right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, got a news update. Less than 15 minutes to Scott Robbins' trifecta. Got to wrap up the Friday 5. This week, songs with crazy in the title. There's March Madness, The World's Gone Crazy. We had Ozzy at number 4 with Crazy Train. That's right, number 4, inexplicably. Heart at 2, Crazy on You, and number 3 was Crazy Little Thing Called Love. What's that?
Real slang called love. It cries, it
I just did that to mess with Rob.
The hell is that?
That's Dwight Yoakam's version.
That's not very good.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. That's good, man. I actually like that version better than the Queen one.
I do too, honestly.
It swings more, man. It just has more soul.
Okay. Who's next? We've had great honorable mentions, man. Yeah. It's Aerosmith and Patsy Cline. Who's next, David?
Well, let's talk to Scott in Nashville. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for checking in, man.
It's Knoxville, but no problem.
Oh, Knoxville.
Well, it's...
Oh, man, are you still upset with the Vols last night, man?
Yeah, a lot of people were excited. Thought we had it in the bag, and I think the team did, too. So.
Yeah.
They didn't play as aggressive as they had been. I think they got a little... they pulled back a little bit. I think they're afraid of getting a lot of calls. Incidentally, I did work at a pizza place, ate a lot of pizzas, mediocre. But I did hook up with the waitress. She was mediocre, too. So I agree. I didn't hate it. So in the 80s, I was totally into hair band, Skid Row, you know, Motley Crue, all that stuff. And I dated this hot woman. And she wanted to go to this concert, and I didn't want to. I thought it was a girly guy. And but I went because, you know, hot always wins. And, man, I went. It was one of the best shows. I realized this guy was a great musician, Prince. Let's go,
dude!
Crazy.
It was one of the best guitar performances you ever seen. I bet.
Oh, it was! It was awesome, and I was cracking on him before the show. I thought, oh, he's just for the women, and that dude can rip.
Dude, it, absolutely
number one.
Yeah.
I need a T-shirt that says "Hot Always Wins."
I feel like that bro is like, he's like my brother. He's a twin. Except he grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I grew up in Knoxville, Illinois.
Spooky.
Hair bands, but yeah, one of the best performances I ever saw as far as a guitarist was Prince.
Hot always wins. Man, that's a great one.
That was a great call,
man. Oh, man.
You know what, man? Real quick, I'll tell you this. If you want to get some of that hairband soul with that song, there's a way you can do it.
And if the elevator tries to bring you down, go crazy.
That doesn't sound like your style, Robin. That's Dirty Honey. Check Check it out.
I
it's
like
a lot
band.
Of fun.
Just...
Dude, that guy's voice, come on. Okay, I know we got to move on. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to Will in Louisiana. Hey, Will.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Will.
Having a lot of fun, Will.
First time caller. Love your show, man. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Bro, thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, my pick for this is She Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals.
Oh, yeah. Robin's played like crazy on top 40. Like that song.
Oh, yeah.
All right, David, who's next? We're looking for number five.
Yeah, let's talk to Wayne in Michigan. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
I am going to go with the 1975 26-minute classic.
Yeah.
Shine On Your Crazy Diamond.
Pink Floyd. Yesterday, David was digging it. I was digging it. Robbins was making fun.
It's okay. I don't mind it.
Pretty epic.
One of the Roger Waters blew out his voice singing this song. That's why Roy Harper had to sing "Have a Cigar." He just happened to be at the studios, and they brought him in to sing that song because Roger Waters couldn't sing anymore.
Yes, the story behind the song.
It is.
Are we going to have to get to number five?
We're
going
to have to get to it. Yep.
Okay. This is interesting.
Number five. Crazy for
you. Yeah.
Okay. You know this is maybe the only Madonna song I know that I don't think of her when I hear the song. I think of the movie Vision Quest. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Spokane and our family there. And you played that like crazy at Top 40.
Yeah.
Did you ever slow dance with anybody on that one?
I don't think so.
Sure.
Pretty sure I didn't.
That's a good five. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Okay, biggest story of the day, David.
Biggest story of the day. I mean, you've got some firing back and forth in Syria between Iran proxies and the United States happening, and this is a dicey-looking situation here. You also have Democrats going completely nuts over the idea of transparency in curriculum, which is...
It's really something, man.
It's completely wild.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, you get the feeling that the left is so used to being able to do whatever they want to do as far as education, and now that parents have caught up, it's like the panic is on for all to see. So we'll get to that. Another big story out there, still trying to get to the bottom of Ozzy finishing fourth with crazy songs.
Come on, let it up.
News update and the Scott Robbins trifecta straight ahead right here. Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Oh, this is kind of an interesting palace intrigue story from the Biden White House. The headline reads, Biden annoyed at Kamala Harris for not, quote, rising to the occasion.
What did he think was going to happen?
Vice President is scared of messing up.
What did you think, Joe? Yeah. You and your people.
But this is from Reuters. But the other thing is apparently people in the White House are privately acknowledging that there isn't an easy way to get rid of her heading into the 2024 election.
Yeah. No, there's not. You're screwed. Nothing you can do.
You know, that's the thing. It's not like this is new. This has been going on a while. But now you're stuck.
So, yeah, a former White House official said, I don't think that the president sees her as somebody who takes anything off of his plate. A fear of messing up has caused Harris to be late in joining important political fights like the ongoing border crisis. But she was put in charge of border issues in 2021.
Oh, boy.
I mean, yeah. It's like you're close to 2 years now, and what do you have to show for it?
Well, to be fair, there is nothing solid on his plate.
Okay, it's like this. And honestly, this isn't just taking shots, but from everything we've seen, okay, you look at a story like what's happening today, Iran proxies are firing missiles at the U.S. base in Syria because we retaliated them and killed 8 militants. Are you going to bring in Kamala for some insight on what would be a good move from here?
Gosh.
I'm serious.
Oh, heck no.
But isn't that one of the things a vice president maybe should be able to offer?
Or at least have some skill level that you can bring them in. If it's not foreign policy, then something domestic. I mean, she always talks about how she was a prosecutor, but they're not really talking to her about any sort of federal crime or federal bill to address rising crime rates in America's major cities.
You know, that's weird you bring that up. You're absolutely right. A former prosecutor who's never talked about prosecution.
It's a great point.
And that seems to be the wheelhouse, right? You would think.
But again, when you're not looking for the best person for the job.
No.
You're just looking to check a box, mm-hmm. which he admitted. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happens. Sometimes you might get the best person, but then again, you might not.
He admitted it on the campaign trail.
He did.
He had nowhere to go. He was backed into a corner.
All right, you ready for your big three,
Robin?
Yeah,
let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
Are you ready?
One, two,
it's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day at this time, Scott Robbins, top three of the day, the trifecta, helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Hey, man, come on over tonight. We'll watch some NCAA basketball, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Right. Very non-committal there.
Well, the invite's there. I'm just saying.
No, number
got
three.
You.
Number three today, an international governing body for track and field events has said, no, biological men cannot play against or compete against actual women.
Yeah, stunning, isn't it? Stunning outbreak of sanity. But I'm going to go ahead and use the work. Woke term here, and that is stunning and brave. There you go. The World Athletics made a move to prohibit transgender athletes who have gone through male puberty from participating in female world ranking competitions. The sporting body's president, Sebastian Coe, announced this decision yesterday. To mixed reaction, of course, which you're going to get pushback on this. But he said, I don't care because this is not fair to the women that are participating. He said, we're not saying forever. I mean, I don't know why you're not saying forever, but you're not. But it's at least a step in the right direction from bizarro world, which is where we've been.
I have a prediction, if you don't mind, during your
go
segment.
Go ahead, yeah.
My prediction will be, since they're saying anyone that's gone through puberty, somebody is going to say, well, this is why we need transition before puberty, and they should be put on puberty blockers.
So they can swim against other women.
Yeah, that'll be coming by the end of the weekend, I would guess. If anything in the past is a predictor of the future, which it is. That's what I would guess is going to happen.
I would assume you're right as well.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Scott Robbins, trifecta, top three of the day.
Two.
Number two, a federal court has blocked the federal vaccine mandate.
Yeah, another card in the old COVID house of cards has been tipped over. The president's vaccine mandate for federal workers has been blocked by the same federal appeals court that first upheld it. Upon further review, we've determined that this is unnecessary.
You don't say.
So now they're blocking it. And for all you people that got fired, I hope you get your jobs back. You won't, but I hope you do.
Wow.
It's with the anniversary of the pandemic and all the reaction from it. Somebody needs to pay the price here.
Just a trip down memory lane.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Before they did.
But you did.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Right.
Until you did.
Yeah.
Can we mandate vaccines across the country? No, that's not a role that the federal government, I think, even has the power to make.
Until we did.
It's made the airline industry much safer after they canned all those pilots. Yeah. There aren't planes crashed into each other almost every day. No.
And the countdown continues.
Yeah. It's got Robin's trifecta up to number
one.
Number one, Democrats are freaking out because Republicans want to require school districts to get this. Oh, how evil this is. Tell parents what they're teaching their kids.
Oh, no.
And Hank Johnson has poked his head up, Scott.
It's another episode of What is Hank Johnson Talking About? We'll discuss after we hear the clip. But this is the fine representative. And he is, well, he's nothing if not absolutely getting an argument going here with parents and educators. And Hank wants you to know where he stands on this. And, well, here we go.
Well, I'd say Hank brings an insight that very few can.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
They want you to believe that the tooth fairy is woke and anti-Christian.
Whoa, hold on a second.
You heard him.
What?
He wants you to believe that the tooth fairy is woke and anti-Christian.
Because they want parents to be able to know what's being taught to their kids?
Yes. They stir up all kinds of mythological things. They blame, blame, blame.
Okay. All right.
And anti-Christian.
Hmm.
And they also want you to believe that they will find something incriminating in Hunter Biden's laptop.
They did! They did! What do you mean they want you to believe? No, it's right there.
Oh, that's a fact. Yeah.
And they also want you to believe that there are some chilling of parents' fundamental rights by the Biden administration.
Because
there's absolutely no evidence to support the MAGA conspiracy theories.
Okay.
What the hell is that?
I did try to look up where he got the tooth fairy woke and anti-Christian, so I just Googled it right now.
Yeah.
And all that I see is people asking how to do the tooth fairy thing without waking up their kids. That's it.
Okay. So with Hank, I'm trying to figure it out. Seriously.
You can't.
He's not the brightest guy. We all know that. Either that or he's been stoned through this entire run through Congress.
To the bone, if that's the case.
Okay. Is it possible that when the career's over, his staff is going to come out and say, all right, we've goofed on this guy forever and wrote things thinking there's no way he's going to say it. And then he would go out and say it as an example when he thought Guam might tip over.
One of my all-time favorites, yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Is that your favorite, David? The Guam?
Capsize.
It's not even that. It's more just the military official sitting there going, I have dedicated my life in service to this country, and I've got to answer that dumbass question, really? But you can actually hear his soul dying a little bit as he composes himself and then says, we don't anticipate that.
We don't anticipate that.
See, looking through this lens of its staffers writing things down, thinking he will never say it, is taking on a new life for me.
Really,
that makes more sense. Like, okay, he did the Guam thing. He did the tooth fairy. Okay. He wouldn't do the midget bit, would he? If
we
write this thing out for him, he's not going to actually say it. He knows he can't say that, right?
Number one.
And the act of the United States.
No, that's the wrong midget clip. Got the other midget clip. What about balloons? Would he do this bit on balloons?
This Tea Party Congress will make the tough choice to keep children's birthday parties on schedule and give industries that rely on helium the lift that they deserve.
Nice.
Imagine, Mr. Speaker, a world without balloons. How can we make sure that the injustice of there being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice that we all hold near and dear to our hearts?
Hmm.
Imagine a world without balloons.
Yeah. Imagine that, would you?
Dig if you will.
Just try. Okay, do we have the right clip as far as when he actually said what he said on the whole, you
midgets
know.
And giants?
You got midgets against giants. The midget will not win the fight. I'm going to tell you that.
See, that's wise right there. He's going to tell you. All right. Because this whole thing, if you go down memory lane, was all about what? It was about a corporation and a union, right?
Something like that, about collective bargaining, I
collective
guess.
Collective bargaining, yeah. I think, yeah.
You put 30 midgets in with the giant. That's where you put the midgets together. The giants take real good care of the midgets as long as the midgets do what the giants want them to do.
Yeah.
Now they're going to crush the midgets. Midgets get a chance to speak with one voice, and the midgets then have a chance collectively to speak eye to eye with the midget.
Hank seems very proud. I've never noticed this before. It was like the big reveal. Mm-hmm. See, like, do you understand where I'm coming from now?
And the midgets then have a chance collectively to speak.
See, collectively. Because you stack on top of one another. Look them in the eye.
Look the giant right in the eye.
Got that right.
Now back to Prairie Home Companion with Hank Johnson.
Let me tell you about the midgets fighting the giant. Back in the days in Lake Wobegon.
I think Hank is really the poster child for the American dream.
You can really, yes, you can achieve anything.
If you doubt it, that guy is in Congress.
Right.
Holy mackerel, that's really something.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Gives everybody hope.
Yeah, the Scott Robbins trifecta.
Yeah.
Great one as always, Scott. Appreciate that.
It's really been an honor for me.
Oh,
thanks,
yes.
Casey. See always. You this weekend.
All right. We got to get to another news update.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Nimrod's in the news coming up right here.
Goodbye.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
I think this is fascinating when you look at the priorities of different state legislatures, and one is in California. So in the state of California, they are reacting to multiple states pushing the brakes on so-called gender-affirming care for minors. Mm-hmm. No, they're saying that kids shouldn't get sex change operations. Pretty obvious, actually, if you ask me. Well, in the state of California, they want to become this sanctuary state where, hey, you want to lop off your kids' genitals? Come to California. It's beautiful this time of year.
Unreal.
That's where they're going with it. But at the same time, the state assembly is considering a bill that would ban certain chemicals that are found in everyday foods because they might pose a health risk. Especially to the children. I'm talking about things like red dye number 3. I mean, there's other stuff that is used as additives in food for one reason or another, either dye or it's to keep certain ingredients like in lemon lime soda from the lemon juice from floating the top, things like that. But they want to get rid of these chemicals because there's a chance it could lead to adverse health effects in children. I mean, I always laugh like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but, you know, whenever you buy a product and it's sold in all 50 states, usually there is, like, this California Prop whatever warning on it because it contains some right. metal or something that possibly maybe linked to cancer or something like that. I thought it was really funny. The last pistol I bought, it had that warning on it. This product might be dangerous because of this. Thanks, California.
I'm not fighting for cigarettes for kids or vaping or anything, but can't have it. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Puberty blockers? Lopping it off? Oh, sure. Yeah, affirming. Crazy. Before we get to Nimrod's real quick, man, Like anybody that's ever wanted to bungee jump and then you go do it. There is that fear. It wouldn't snap, would it? No. And for most of us that have done it, of course, that never happens.
Yeah.
And it's a big thrill. Not for this person. Yeah, dude. Oh, buddy.
Damn.
Gonna be okay, though.
He crashed?
Yes, Thailand. And then into a river. Bruises, but he's gonna be all right.
Oh, gosh,
yeah,
dang it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty nuts. And with that, we go to Nimrod's.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's in the News. Well, for our friends in Ohio, you may already know this story. The Ohio State Highway Patrol got a call about a reckless driver. I'm thinking, man, well, he might be drunk. It was St. Patrick's Day, you know. And got there. The vehicle had already crashed. Car veered off the road and collided with a state highway patrol sign that said, impaired drivers, call 677. He ran into the sign. He's okay, but he's got the Dewey, and that's Nimrod's in the News.